Gothic Tales of Terror. This collection of short stories contains several gothic tales to bear macabre and chilling witness. These tales are designed to unsettle you, just a little, as you sit back and take in their words as they lead you on a walk to places you'd perhaps rather not visit on your own. These stories are read for you by many readers, including Gisela Rowe and Richard Midgley.
From the Dead. But true or not true, your brother is a scoundrel. No man, no decent man, tells such things. He did not tell me. How dare you suppose it? I found the letter in his desk, and since she was my friend and your sweetheart, I never thought there could be any harm in my reading anything she might write to my brother. Give me back the letter. I was a fool to tell you. Ida Helmont held out her hand for the letter. "Not yet," I said, and I went to the window. The dull red of a London sunset burned on the paper, as I read in the pretty handwriting I knew so well and had kissed so often. "Dear, I do love you, but it's impossible. I must marry Arthur. My honour is engaged. If he would only set me free, but he never will. He loves me foolishly. But as for me, it is you I love, body, soul, and spirit. There is no one in my heart but you. I think of you all day and dream of you all night. And we must part. Goodbye. Yours, 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 Elvira." I had seen the handwriting, indeed, often enough, but the passion there was new to me, that I had not seen. I turned from the window. My sitting room looked strange to me. There were my books, my reading lamp, my untasted dinner still on the table, as I had left it when I rose to dissemble my surprise at Ida Helmont's visit. Ida Helmont, who now sat looking at me quietly. "Well, do you give me no thanks? You put a knife in my heart and then ask for thanks?" "Pardon me," she said, throwing up her chin. "I've done nothing but show you the truth. For that one should expect no gratitude. May I ask, out of pure curiosity, what you intend to do?" "Your brother will tell you." She rose suddenly, very pale, and her eyes haggard. "You will not tell my brother." She came towards me, her gold hair flaming in the sunset light. "Why are you so angry with me?" she said. "Be reasonable. What else could I do?" "I don't know." "Would it have been right not to tell you?" "I don't know. I only know that you've put the sun out and I haven't got used to the dark yet." "Believe me," she said, coming still nearer to me and laying her hands in the lightest touch on my shoulders. "Believe me, she never loved you." There was a softness in her tone that irritated and stimulated me. I moved gently back and her hands fell by her sides. "I beg your pardon," I said. "I have behaved very badly. You were quite right to come, and I am not ungrateful. Will you post a letter for me?" I sat down and wrote, "I give you back your freedom, the only gift of mine that can please you now. Arthur." I held the sheet out to Miss Helmont, but she would not look at it. I folded, sealed, stamped, and addressed it. Goodbye, I said then, and gave her the letter.